This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses. Hey everyone, Dr. Jimmy here. Today we are going to talk about a couple different topics. The first is going to be over mane and tail growth. And then the second thing that we are going to talk about is molasses and non-structural carbohydrates and where molasses falls on an ingredient list. So to get things started, I had a question come in from a friend who lives in Montana, and she has just bought a horse out of Arizona. And one of her concerns was with his mane and tail growth. She sent me a picture, and basically he's got a really, really thin mane. It's pretty short. And there's just not a lot of volume there. There's not a lot of length there. There's not really any body at all to it. So she's just wondering, you know, is there anything from a nutritional standpoint that she can do to get his mane to grow out, and then also to help speed up the growth of his tail? So apparently at his previous owners, some cattle, I guess, had maybe chewed off his tail. So the poor guy's got a little bit of a short tail that they're trying to get grown back out. So I think that this is probably one of those questions that almost everybody listening is like, ooh, what's she going to say? Because everybody wants that horse that has a tail that drags the ground and a mane that's like 2 foot long, right? It's pretty. And it doesn't matter what discipline you're in or what breed you have. I mean, it's just that long mane and tail is something that everybody seems to strive for. So, you know, I think it's important to point out one thing. You know, genetics plays a huge, huge, huge role in what that mane and tail is going to be like for your individual horse. Okay. I mean, it's kind of like if we think about ourselves, I mean, we can't all play basketball like Michael Jordan, right? We're not as tall. We're not as quick. We're not as athletic. We're not this, we're not that. You know, there's all of these things that limit us physically based on our genetics that either allow us to do things or not to do things. So, you know, hair is one thing. I mean, it's just like people. There are some people who are blessed with, you know, really full heads of hair, long hair, thick hair, curly hair, straight hair, you know, whatever. I mean, there are just all kinds of different types, and it's all based on your genetics. You know, men, will you go bald or not? You know, I mean, it's just, it all goes back to your genetics. So when it comes to horses, you know, that is our biggest limiting factor. There are certain horses out there who are going to have that mane and tail because it's in their blood. And then there are other horses out there who just don't have it, and they're simply never going to have it because it's just not part of their genetic makeup. The next thing that you have to consider is age. Okay. So, as horses age, their mane and tails will start to thin out. It's kind of like, you know, if you think about, you know, any little old lady, you know, it's kind of like the standard protocol that when you get to be a certain age, it's like you have to cut off all of your hair and then turn it into a perm, right? Well, the reason that, you know, that a lot of older women do that is because their hair starts to really thin. And if they cut it really short and then they perm it, you can make it look more like it has more volume, and it hides how thin that hair is getting. So again, same thing with horses. You know, if you've got a horse that's, you know, starting to get up there in years and a little bit older, and you notice that his mane and his tail is really starting to thin out, that could just be a part of him aging. Now, the third thing is care, okay? So how you care for that horse's mane and tail will certainly have an impact on maximizing that genetic potential. So a few things that you can do. Number one, you know, keep the skin like at the base of the hair, at the roots itself. You want to keep that skin free of dirt, free of dust, free of debris. You know, you don't want anything oily to get clogged up in those pores. You want really, you know, viable skin right there, because that's where the root of that hair is. That's where the nutrient supply is coming in. And so if you've got really scaly, flaky, dry skin, that is not a good nutrient source for the root of that hair. So one thing that you can do is, you know, brush often, okay? And start clear at the base of the mane, clear at the base of the tail. Really make sure that you're getting all of that dirt, that dust, that debris all out of there. And then make sure that you're pulling those natural oils from the skin. As you brush, it kind of pulls them along that hair shaft. And that'll also help kind of condition that hair shaft as well. Another thing to keep in mind is circulation is really important for hair quality. So by brushing that hair every single day and stimulating the circulatory system, you can actually increase the blood flow, which then increases the nutrient supply to the root of that horse's hair. So, you know, brushing and braiding and all of that, you know, sometimes I guess you can kind of think that it doesn't seem that important, but it really does play, you know, a role, you know, in that horse's just general health care. Brushing your horse on a daily basis is really important for his circulatory system and just to keep everything, the blood flowing and the oxygen flowing and the nutrients, being supplied to those areas that need it. You definitely also want to prevent breakage. Okay, so, loose braids if you can. So long loose braids are really handy, especially to prevent wind knots. Okay, so if you've got a horse that is, you know, turned out and you live in a windy environment, there's a good chance you're going to be dealing with some wind knots. And you just have to make sure that you take the time and the care to gently untangle those wind knots. Don't be tempted to just rip through them with a brush or a comb or something, because that can actually break the hair, and breakage of those hairs is definitely a no-no when you're trying to get a mane and a tail to grow out as long as possible. You can also tie the tail up. So when you're riding, if you know that you're going to be going and working that horse and you're going to be doing, you know, maybe a lot of stopping and spinning and backing and turning, be sure to tie the tail up so that that horse isn't backing up over its own tail and ripping its own tail out. I see that a lot in some of the Western disciplines where, you know, you're asking those horses to stop really hard and then back up really fast. Those horses can actually step on their own tail, and you just see all of these gorgeous long tails getting ripped out and left in the arena, which is really sad. So there are a gazillion hair care products out there, and I am by no means an expert on any of them. So I'm just going to leave you all at your own free will to Google and find an expert in hair care and ask them, you know, what they think. I guess, you know, the biggest tips there are, you know, basically there are certain ingredients and products that are probably more drying to the hair that you probably want to stay away from. If you're going to lean on things that are more oily, just make sure you're not getting a lot of oils clogged in the glands at the base of the mane. So, okay, let's actually get back to an area of this that's a little bit more my expertise, and that's the nutrition aspect. Okay, so we talked genetics, we talked age, we talked about the actual care that you provide. But the fourth piece, and this is really what this listener was asking about, is the nutrition aspect. What can we look at from a nutritional aspect to support that hair growth and, again, maximize that genetic potential? Okay, so one big one is biotin, okay? So I think a lot of times we only think of biotin for hoof health, which it is very important for hoof health, but it is also very important for mane and tail health, okay? So I like to look for biotin at really high levels when I'm trying to support either mane, tail, or hoof health. And when I say really high levels, what I mean is I want a daily dose of 100 milligrams of biotin, okay? The next thing that's important is your copper and your zinc content, all right? So not only do you need those two in the diet, but you need them in the correct ratio. And then I'm going to toss in manganese on top of that, because manganese is also important to have in the diet at the proper, not only the proper amount, but also the proper ratio. So the ratio of copper to zinc to manganese is very important. As far as a total diet ratio, okay, you typically want one part copper for every four parts zinc and four parts manganese, okay? So that's as a total diet. So keep in mind that when you're looking at something from a total diet standpoint, you're looking at not only the supplement, but also the grain and the hay, okay? The other thing about copper, zinc, and manganese is not all forms of those are created equal, okay? So you don't necessarily just have copper, right? You've got copper bound to something else. So there are inorganic forms of copper, okay? So that would be things like copper oxide and copper sulfate, okay? And then you have organic forms of copper. And when it comes to the organic forms, there are lots of ways to get organic forms. Okay, so what it means when you say that a mineral is organic is it just means that mineral is bound to an organic substance. Okay, so that could be amino acids, that could be, you know, polysaccharides, so sugars. Okay, so there are different organic materials that those minerals can be bound to. The form that I like the best, because it has so much research to back it, and I'm talking literally, I mean, hundreds of peer-reviewed, published scientific trials, okay, research studies and papers that back the absorbability of it, the bioavailability of it, the biological effects once it's in the body. Okay. So all of these things. So what is it? It is, I like to have the copper, zinc, and manganese bound to specific amino acids. Okay. So with zinc, if you want to look for it on a supplement tag or a feed tag, you go down into the ingredients list. Okay. Not under the guaranteed analysis. It's not there. You've got to look at the ingredients and you'll want to find where it says zinc methionine complex, copper lysine complex, and then manganese methionine complex, okay? So when you find those minerals, copper and zinc and manganese, identified right next to an amino acid, so either methionine or lysine, okay? Those are two limiting amino acids. And then complex would be the third word right behind it. That's what you're looking for. So those particular forms are, in my opinion, the most bioavailable, the best options out there that we can do and provide for our horses. What I have seen, when you add those forms of organic minerals into the horse's diet, coat condition changes, coat color changes. I mean, you start to see sorrel horses actually start to dapple out. I mean, it does amazing things for the color of the coat and the dimension of the coat. It's amazing what those particular trace minerals can do. Now, in addition, amino acids are important. So I was just saying that I like to see those minerals bound to the two amino acids, lysine and methionine. Okay, lysine and methionine themselves, those two amino acids also have to be in the diet in appropriate amounts. Okay, so those two amino acids give us a huge indication as to the quality of the proteins in the diet. Okay, so if you want to find biotin at the correct amount, the correct forms of copper, zinc, and manganese, along with the amino acids, lysine and methionine. There's a product out there that has all of that already built into it. It is called Nutrimix Plus, and you can get that from Stride Animal Health. So that's the product that I lean on. So I've got two products. That's the first one that I lean on when it comes to hoof health and mane and tail health. The next product that I add on is called fish oil factor. And the reason I like fish oil factor so much is because of the omega fatty acid content in it. Okay. So fats and oils are also really good at helping support hair and coat and mane and tail health and quality. So fish oil factor is a flaxseed and rice bran base, but then it actually has fish oil that is added into the product. So normally fish oil is, so it's an incredibly potent and powerful ingredient from an omega-3 standpoint, but normally it is not well received by horses because it has such obviously a fishy taste, right? Horses don't exactly like the taste of fish oil. But this particular product has done a really good job of masking the fishy odor and getting that into a form that's actually palatable for horses where they'll actually eat it. So it is really high in omega-3 fatty acids. Okay, so you've got higher levels of omega-3s than you do of omega-6s. Those omega-3s are your anti-inflammatories. Okay, so they are really beneficial from an anti-inflammatory standpoint. I did go into a fair amount of depth over omega fatty acids in a previous episode, so I will be sure to include that episode number in the show notes if anybody wants to dive into the omega fatty acids any deeper. But definitely omega fatty acids in the fish oil factor. So for the listener that asked this question, if this were my horse, I would definitely get him started on Nutrimix Plus and fish oil factor. Both of those you can buy from strideanimalhealth.com or from a local Stride dealer. And I believe they're also available on chewy.com. So a lot of options for getting those products. From a nutritional standpoint, there is one thing that I want to note, kind of from a danger standpoint, is selenium. So selenium is actually one of those minerals that can become deficient really easy, but it can also become toxic really easy. And if you hit either the deficiency or the toxicity, one of the things that it can that can happen is actually a loss of mane and tail hair. So, you know, if when it comes to supplements and when it comes to providing nutrition to a horse, just keep in mind that more is not always better. You know, if you're feeding, you know, three or four different supplements that all contain selenium plus a grain that contains selenium, you know, you can easily, get into a situation where you've got that horse in toxic levels of selenium. And like I said, one of those, one of the signs of that is loss of the mane and tail hair. So, you know, definitely work with a nutritionist. You know, if you're going to start combining supplements, talk to someone, shoot, take pictures of those labels and send them our way. And I mean, like I said, we've got a team of nutrition consultants who would be more than happy to review those labels and just make sure that you're not running into any situations or, you know, getting yourself painted into a corner that you don't realize you're doing. So just keep in mind that, you know, when nutritionists formulate certain things, you know, we formulate them typically to meet requirements. And so if you then start to add a whole bunch of other ones on top of it, you can get yourself into a little bit of trouble. Now, the next question that I want to address is really around the non-structural carbohydrate content and the molasses content that you'll find in horse feeds. So the question actually came into me. They were looking at the feed tag for Equiline ProCare by Bluebonnet Feeds. And they said, hey, I'm a little confused because I see molasses listed on that ingredient list in two different places. And I'm wondering, number one, why are you using molasses? Number two, why are you using two different types of it? Okay. So great question. What this listener was seeing is on the ingredient list, towards the top part of the list, you know, I can't remember if it's maybe the fourth or fifth ingredient, something like that, but you'll see the words cane molasses. And what that means is that is the liquid molasses portion that goes on to that feed. That particular molasses is a very specific and unique blend, of molasses and also some oils that we use, to give that feed basically a couple things. One, it helps soften some of the beet pulp. So that is a beet pulp based feed, meaning that beet pulp is one of the base ingredients in it. So that means that the beet pulp is not, it's not ground up and put into pellets. Okay. The beet pulp is actually free flowing or loose within that feed. And if any of you have ever felt beet pulp shreds themselves, they're really sharp, they're really hard, they're really brittle and pokey. And so we put molasses coating onto that feed to help soften some of those beet pulp shreds and make those easier for that horse to chew and to break down and digest, so that you guys don't have to soak that feed every time that you feed it. That would be really kind of a pain. So then the other thing that the molasses does is it also helps soften those pellets just a little bit. So you get a quicker and an easier breakdown and a faster digestion or better digestion of those pellets themselves. And then the third thing that it does is it helps cut, you know, any kind of dust or anything like that that might have been occurring. So that makes it a really good and safe feed to feed to horses that have airway conditions. So if you've got a horse with, you know, heaves or allergies or COPD or anything like that, you know, that's a feed that you certainly don't have to worry about them sticking their nose in the grain bucket and inhaling a big breath of air. You're not going to get any kind of little particles that get inhaled into his nose. Okay. Everything's going to stay pretty well settled and be very safe down in there. Now, the next place that they saw the word molasses was way down the list a ways, and it was the words dried cane molasses. And so basically what that is it's essentially it's the legal term that we have to use for that ingredient. So it's basically, think of it more like a sweetener. So we use that particular dried down molasses. So it's basically a really small level of a concentrated sugar to try to sweeten up one of the particular ingredient pellets that's in that feed. You know, we've got a lot of technology jam packed into the Equilene ProCare, and not all of it tastes super good. So we have to use different types of, you know, flavorings and sweeteners to kind of knock some of those aromas or those tastes that horses would otherwise be really adverse to. So that's basically what's going on there is, you know, almost think about it kind of like, you know, like stevia or something like that, you know, like a sweetener that you would put into something at a really low level, just to give it just that little extra hint of sweetness, but not, you know, increase the sugar content of the feed really high. So that then brings me to my next point. Okay. So you can't just look at an ingredient list and say, oh, molasses is the fourth ingredient on that feed, and it's the fourth ingredient in this other feed, therefore they have the same amount. Okay, it doesn't work like that. And so just to kind of help prove my point, I went and looked at the ingredients list on two cereals. Okay, so I looked at Lucky Charms was the first one, and it had sugar as the second ingredient. Okay. Then I went over and I looked up the ingredients for Rice Krispies. Okay. And Rice Krispies also had sugar as the second ingredient. Okay. So does that mean that there's the same amount of sugar in both of those products? Absolutely not. Okay. So how do we know how much sugar is in a box of Lucky Charms or a box of Rice Krispies? We go look at the nutrition facts. I think nutrition facts is what they call it in humans. Okay. And we scroll down that little list until we find sugar, and we look in and we can see that in Lucky Charms, I think there's 12 grams of sugar. Okay. And then when you go look at Rice Krispies, I think there were 3 grams of sugar. Okay. So you've got Lucky Charms and Rice Krispies, both with sugar as the second ingredient, but clearly there's 4 times more sugar in the Lucky Charms than there are in the Rice Krispies. Okay. So 12 grams versus 3 grams. So in horses, the nutrition facts that we use, we go and actually look at sugar content and starch content. Okay. And when you add those two together, when you add starch plus sugar, that gives you a non-structural carbohydrate content, or NSC percent. Okay. So for Equiline ProCare, the NSC content is actually 13.5%, which is a very low non-structural carbohydrate. That's a very low NSC feed. To put that in perspective, okay, so if you know, people talk about, oh, I want to feed a low starch feed. Okay, what does that mean? As a general rule of thumb, anything that's 22% NSC or under is generally considered a low starch feed. Okay. Now, if you have a horse that has a metabolic sensitivity or a medical sensitivity to sugars and starches, so if you have a Cushing's horse, an insulin-resistant horse, you know, a horse that's dealing with some kind of metabolic syndrome, okay, those horses typically need a total diet that's 12% NSC or less, okay? So to put that in perspective, you know, being at 13.5% NSC, I mean, that is literally just a tick above what would be safe for a horse that has a true medical sensitivity. So even though there is molasses in Equiline ProCare, and even though, you know, molasses is fifth ingredient, I can't remember off the top of my head where it's at, that doesn't mean that it's a high sugar feed. So the way to know that is to look up the NSC. Bluebonnet Feeds actually lists all of the NSCs on their website. The NSC is also printed on that tag. So you can see that NSC, you know, a lot of different ways. So that's, you know, if you want to go out and compare feeds and you want to look at, you know, what the sugar content and starch content and the NSC content is, you know, the ingredients list doesn't tell you everything. You really have to go look at, you know, what the actual NSC guarantee is for that feed. Just like if I was going to go buy a box of cereal for my kids and I wanted to find the one that has the least amount of sugar, I'm not going to look in the ingredients list. I'm going to look under the nutrition facts and I'm going to look at the sugar content. So same concept for horses. I think that probably covers it. I appreciate both of these listeners for submitting these questions. I love getting these questions from you guys, so feel free to shoot them my way. I'd love to answer some more in the future. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.